Continue with Luke for our gospel lesson this morning, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Out of reverence for God's holy word, would you please stand for the reading? Hear now the word of God. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
For those of you who have not heard this revelation, I have a little dog named Doogie. He's a Karen Terrier like Toto in The Wizard of Oz, except my little Karen is blonde. Doc Donahue says that you can only have one Karen in a household. That's all anybody could stand. I sort of agree with him, except I like them. This is my fourth one through the years. And Doogie's 14 now and blind and diabetic, but he's hanging in. And we still walk every morning. Up until the temperatures got to be 95 and 99 and so forth and so on, we walked every morning and every afternoon. What I discovered is that Doogie was ready to go in the afternoon, every afternoon, but he sort of high-stepped, and when I leaned over and felt of the pavement, it was extremely hot. And his little pads were just really, really hot, like they were going to burn. So I've stopped him from walking on the hot pavement in the afternoon. We walk just around the cul-de-sac in the afternoon, but we still are walking a full mile and a little more in the mornings. Hart's Mill Road is very busy about 6:30 or 7 o'clock a.m. Did you know that? Yep. Also, have you seen 285 on Friday afternoon starting around 3 o'clock? You can't beat the traffic anymore. Believe me, I've tried. Where are all those people going and in such a hurry? And as Canaan would say when he was a little boy, what us gonna do when they put all those other houses in? What's going to happen to us? We can't get to Publix or Walmart when they put all 42 townhomes plus at the corner of Hart's Mill and Chamblee Dunwoody Road. Have you ever been to the varsity right before a Georgia Tech home game? Yes, we have, the three of us. What do you have? What do you have? Have your order on your lips and your money in your hand? It is busy at Georgia Tech. And we rush up to the counter and get ours and try to find a place to sit. And if we can't, we just walk down the sidewalk eating that chili dog. We all rush like there's no tomorrow. And cell phones we cannot live without. I do it too. Now, Georgia has laws about texting and driving, and they're saying you must be hands-free when you talk on the phone and going down the road, and you're not even supposed to text when you get to a red light, and I know why. It's because people sit through red lights, and that makes the traffic worse, right? I got to get that app. Scott's told me about it. You can get it from AT&T free that won't let you text when you're driving. Right, and it says, it immediately sends a reply to whoever's texting you that says, "I'm driving. Don't text me, I'm driving." I gotta get that app. I wish I could put it on all of my grandchildren's cell phones. And my friends that are still in medicine are telling me that hand docs are doing more and more surgery on thumbs because they're working too hard on their text. They're doing that. We text all the time. Many of you do it while church is going on, and you didn't think I knew that, did you? It's a miracle when God can get a word in edgewise. Martha was very busy with important stuff, like many of us. It was hard for her to be still. I think I may be a little ADD or ADHD. I don't like to be still. I get mad when I fall asleep at night. And there's three things I really hate. That's going to sleep, stopping at red lights, and having to quit and go to the bathroom. It's a waste of time. I want to be on my feet and moving. Some folks are just that way. Some of you right now, even if you don't have your cell phones out, are making lists and thinking about what comes next. Getting the roast out of the oven, or being first in line at Mad Italian, or whether or not the grass has been watered or needs to be watered, and what comes next. Martha was busy like that. She was doing the right thing. A meal had to be prepared, and there was no microwaves. I would be in serious trouble. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what good is that? Was Martha wrong? Christ said Mary chose the better part. Is this scripture telling us to sit in Bible studies and prayer meetings and worship and pick spiritual fuzz out of our navels? Is that what this text is telling us? I hate that when they make me do that. We're going to do spiritual formation, they say, and we're going to spend the next hour just sitting very still and being quiet. And I just want to throw up when that happens. I can't bear it. Is that what Jesus is telling us? Some Christians get together every chance they get. They just want to know more and more and more about Christ. And they go to worship every chance they get. And if we're not having worship, they'll go someplace that is having worship. And there's nothing wrong with that. They feel good when they leave and they want to feel good. And if you check out their hands, they'll be very smooth and very soft and no calluses. No calluses. Because they're not getting them dirty. What is this text really about? Are they saying that's a good thing? Yes, that's what this text is saying. And it's also saying that's not the only thing. And we miss that piece. It's sort of like Winnie the Pooh and the Great Wood. Do you know Winnie the Pooh? Winnie the Pooh is a children's book that's loaded with theology. Did you study Winnie the Pooh in seminary? Oh, gosh, you better go back and take another semester. Eeyore whines. All the time Eeyore whines. There's a book called How to Get Along with Eeyore written specifically for pastors about people in their church that whine all the time. Piglet frets all the time. Rabbit hurries all the time. And Pooh, well, Pooh just is. Which one is right? There should be a little bit of all these characters in all of us. Tigger just bounces on his tail, boing, 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 boing. There should be a little of that in all of us. Martha was distracted by her work. She was distracted. Is that what this text is about? There's a new thing going around. It's kind of faddish, and it works sometimes, but not very often, where coffee shops are being started, and they're calling them churches. We're building a coffee shop. It's going to be our coffee shop church, they say. There's one going in over at Epworth. There's some around the conference, and some of them actually work. But my question always, as a member of New Church Development, is what do you do in the coffee shop about making disciples? Do you know the mission of the Methodist Church? Jeff can tell you. He had to know it to get through the Board of Ordained Ministry. The mission of the Methodist Church is
to make disciples for the transformation of the world.
To make disciples for the transformation of the world. Good job. How you do that in a coffee shop? I just want to know. I'm not opposed to them. If they work, let's put them in. But how do we go about making disciples for the transformation of the world in a coffee shop? Or might Jesus be telling us that women who had traditional roles, cooking and cleaning, but never had the role of talking, studying, debating, teaching, or preaching about God, now have a new role? Might Jesus be turning the world once again upside down by bringing these women out of the kitchen and into the study? Well, I would advocate that maybe there is a little hint of that in this. Sharma Lewis was your delegate from North Georgia for bishop. She was elected by the Southeast jurisdiction to be a bishop. She will be leaving the Atlanta Decatur Oxford District and going to Virginia to be their bishop. She's out the kitchen, folks. She's out of the kitchen. And I want to introduce you to your new bishop. Her picture is, I'm going to show you a picture, and then I'm going to let you meet her. This is Sue Havert Johnson. And she is the new bishop of the North Georgia Conference. Who ever heard of such a thing? In North Georgia, the richest, the most arrogant, the boss conference of all of Methodism in the United States now has a blonde-headed female bishop. Some of the boys were calling me the other day. They scared. Jeff's aging a little bit older. They scared. They said, what are we going to do? What's it going to be like? And I said, well, you're going to bat with two strikes like I've been doing for 25 years. Let's see what you got, boys. But I'm just teasing them because I've always been treated pretty fairly. And they will be too. She's a bishop. Going to let you meet her. And then we're going to move on from here.
When I came that first Sunday in August of 1995, I'll tell you a little bit about my story and a ritual that I do all the time. Whenever I come in this sanctuary, I remember that first Sunday when I was preaching, and I remember back to the staff parish committee. You know, they have to approve you for candidacy in the United Methodist Church. And I am forever indebted to Bob Fannin, who is pastor there, Bishop Bob now, and to Doug Jones, who was a really committed layman. And I remember sitting for about an hour and a half as that committee decided whether they felt God's call on my life, affirm God's call on my life. And the question that they had to ask themselves is, would you accept a woman pastor in this church? Would you accept this person as a pastor of your church? And they struggled with that at the time because it was all new. And I grew up in this church. I had never seen an ordained woman preach in this church. And so as I went to ordination, I thought about that. But that first Sunday I was here, I was terrified, cotton mouth. I could feel the sense of, oh man, we got an alien in our midst. This is really different. And I remember I was sitting up here, not in the big chair, but in the little chair. And the sun hit the window. Now, I grew up in this church. We always sat right where Carol Marsh and her grandchildren and Charles are sitting. Good morning. How are y'all? But we always sat in the front row. And then when we hit high school, we were given permission to sit in the balcony. But I know this sanctuary. I've counted those ceiling tiles a million times, okay? I know, kids and young people, I know what it's like to have to endure through church. Brian and Faith, I know. Thank you for being here, but I know you get to learn a sanctuary. That's the beauty of traditional worship. The contemporary service didn't have much to look at, but I knew every one of those windows. I knew the patriarchs, we're talking about Moses today. There's a great window of him in the back. Those are the prettiest windows in the church, so you need to come sit up here sometime. But as I was sitting up here terrified, the light hit a window that I had never noticed before. I mean, it was brilliant. And I looked over, and the sun was gleaming through the Susanna Wesley window. I had never noticed Susanna Wesley there until that day. And it was like she was saying, girlfriend, I've been waiting for you.
And your new bishop. Is that what this text is about? Maybe just a hint, but just a hint. You work hard at Shamley First, but should we be spending more time praying and studying and sitting at the feet of Jesus? We get ready for programs. We plan Bible studies. You'll be seeing announcements starting next week about fall Bible studies. We meet with finance committees, don't we, Michael? We work with children's ministries. And this morning, while we were worshiping, peanut butter sandwiches were being made and other things that the kids could eat as they make their way toward Hinton. We work with the Staff Parish Relations Committee. We work with the trustees. Tom Jones and I have been on the phone. Scott Purney and I have been emailing. We work with the trustees. Is this text telling us not to be about the business of the church? Not at all. So what is this text telling us? It may be telling us that loving God is far more important than any busyness that we do. And that there are times in our life when we need to be still and quiet and know that God is God. We may have forgotten why we're busy. That's what this text is about. Some of us may have forgotten the one who put us to task to begin with. We are missing the best part. The terrorists were in France this week. Every week I come with prayers for some place or another and some people that have become victims. When those people realized that they were being shot at, I most imagine they wanted to speak with their loved ones one more time in the midst of all the chaos. Probably some of them were reaching for cell phones even as they had been wounded. And they realized that important stuff had been left unsaid. I venture to say no one called home about changing their dentist appointment. No one called to check on their insurance. Nobody called to reschedule an appointment. Probably no one there called to say, don't forget to pay the light bill, or I'm not going to get to cast my vote. I doubt anybody called home to say, don't forget to lock the doors and you be careful. If they could, I expect they were calling to say one thing. I love you. No matter what, I love you. Jesus Christ, in all the urgency of training the disciples, birthing a church, changing a world, did not forget why he was doing those things. He was about his Father's business. He was on a mission. He came for several reasons, but the largest of these is that he came to bring the good news. He came to teach us that Jesus loves us. He came to teach us that we're all God's children. And he never forgot the important work that he had been sent to do. Do we really work for Christ, or do we work for self? Are we, in fact, self-employed? Your new bishop preached a sermon, and in that sermon, she talked about the church, and she described it this way. We're so busy bickering in the kitchen that we have failed to set the sumptuous feast, and we need to stop the bickering in the kitchen and set the table for our guest. I like that. I like that. When do we stop long enough to hear the rat gnawing in the wall? When do we stop long enough to remember that God loves us and we are to love each other, all of our brothers and sisters? We are just so busy. We are so important. We got to keep so many appointments. When is the last time we sat at the feet of Jesus and just listened? If we don't sit with Christ, if we don't spend time with Jesus, if we fail to love him and be loved by him, nothing we do will be successful. Staff is going on retreat in August. We're going to Camp Glisten. We're pulling away for a few days to try to look at program for this church. We'll have all this new space, and we got to institute some new programs. We've got to. We can't do the same old, or we can do the same old, but add to new things that are interesting and vital, and things that will bring people in, and things that will keep you active and keep you informed and keep you moving forward on your own spiritual journey. Will you pray for the staff as they pull away to do that? Nothing we decide, even bringing in the experts, nothing we vision or decide will work if it's not a direction from the Holy Spirit, if we don't take time to listen to see where it is that God wants us to go and what it is that God wants us to do. Before we chart the course, we need to have the course charted for us. Will you pray for us, for your church? Do you think maybe, just maybe, we need to spend some time sitting at the feet of Christ? Do you think maybe we ought, we need, we must listen to Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you think maybe, just maybe, we desperately need to love God with our whole heart and our whole soul and our whole might? Not in part, but in whole. Do you think maybe you need to be still, be quiet, listen for God's call on your life? Maybe. Amen.